We'll let these that are up here give their testimonies tonight. Thank you. Wish I'd have had a teacher like that when I was in school. But aren't you glad that our children can have him? What a thrilling testimony. Ask your blessing upon the Word of God this evening. Lord, I pray for wisdom in my mind tonight, O God, as I bring this. Lord, that I might not say anything that would cause people to stumble or go the wrong way. But Lord, take this and cause people to see some new things, O God, and to live a different way from this day and forward. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I bring my sermon, I have a note from the pastor. Please don't come to the front if you are not filled with love for Jesus that you feel you need to express by dancing before the Lord. Don't come to the front to try to feel God through dancing. Don't dance at the front if you are going to just shift from foot to foot, as the space is at a premium. And those who can and feel to really dance before the Lord need the space. About 75% of those dancing at the front should continue to do so. Others should dance in their pew. Keep the half of the front by the piano especially open for those who need more room. Please don't overreact. Just evaluate your situation to see if you are affected by this note. I am really thrilled at the zeal and faith and commitment of this assembly. We will bring you a report next week when we arrive from ministering to our satellite church in Kalispell. Lots of love, your pastor Don Barnett. Aren't you glad that we have a pastor that loves us? This is his love to us. The title of my message tonight is, How or What Do You See? Or, kind of a subtitle, What Emotion Do You Want? I'm reading in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 13. He said, Go and spy where he is. Now this is when Elisha had been revealing the king of Syria's military plans and preventing him from being able to spring any secret raids on Israel. And whatever the king of Syria had planned in his generals and with his captains in secret, the prophet had been sending word to the king of Israel saying, Beware, the Syrians are plotting here. And so the king of Syria said, All right, we're going to have to go down and remove that prophet. And so the king of Syria said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. It was told him, saying, Behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, master, how shall we do? He answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now here we have two different emotional responses to a problem. The problem is, the Syrians have got us cornered. And there's just two of us. And we probably don't carry a sword. Can you imagine the prophet carrying a sword? One emotional response was, Alas, master! Fear gripped him. Elisha's response was faith, peace, victory, confidence. The emotions that they received in viewing the problem were the responses to what they saw. Elisha saw something different than his servant. And my message is, what do you see when you view a problem? Elisha saw with faith. He saw the reality of the spirit realm. He saw God's word true. He saw the scripture which said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, which we can see, if we but will. His servant saw with the natural eye, the circumstances, enemies, Syrians. Alas! What they saw gave them a different expectation of the future. Elisha looked forward to the future with expectation and excitement. Oh, this ought to be good. Get a load of the chariots of fire and horses. Wow, I can't wait for the second act. His servant looked with fear and dread at their immediate prospects. Oh, no, what are we going to do? We're dead, we're caught, we're trapped, we're stuck. Alas! How do you look at your problems? How do your circumstances affect you? How you look at it is going to have an effect on your life. You can experience either of these emotional responses. Your reaction can be either one or anything in between. The question is often asked, how are you today? Personally, I never ask myself, so I don't have any problems. However, the answer to that, how are you today, is often, what do you see? How am I today? Well, I got the crick in my back, and I didn't get to sleep last night, and I get all these problems. In other words, that's what you see in life. You see your problems. Another person, how are you feeling today? Glory to God. God is moving. This person has problems. My friend, there's nobody that doesn't. But he's got his eyes on the truth. He's got his eyes on some of my favorite scriptures. They're true. There is a God in heaven. You might as well see him as well as anything else. Do you see reality? Now, reality is not this. These things are temporal, the Bible says. But the things that are not seen, according to the book of Hebrews, are eternal. Faith is the substance. The substance. Faith in what God has said, in truth, in the spiritual realm, that is reality. Do you see horses and chariots of fire? Or do you see Syrians? Do you see with the eye of faith? Or do you only see your problems? God's word is the truth. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. You can either see it or not see it. He's there anyway. The person that knows he's there and can see him by the eye of faith, you can have some real pleasant emotional responses, even in the worst of trials. Now, God allowed Elisha to see this. I know he allowed Elisha to see it, and we have to see it by the eye of faith, and God won't often open the spirit realm to us so we can see it. I know that. It's there even if you don't see it. Jesus said, blessed is he that believeth and has not seen. You can still believe. The angel of the Lord is camping round about you whether you believe it or not. You can just experience either emotion depending on whether you do believe it. Now it is very important what we allow ourselves to believe. It is so important what is in your mind. A lot of people don't recognize that much of their problem, and I have told people this, I said, you know what your problem is, brother? They go, no, what? Your problem is between your ears. Now, I said it that way to get a reaction out of them. I said it in an unusual way to get them to think. I could have said, your problem, brother, is unbelief. Or your problem is your concept. Your problem is the way you're thinking. But I said it in a way to get their attention. Oftentimes, the problem isn't so much the problem, it's how we're viewing the problem. That's what's afflicting us with all the torment. It is so important what you see, what you think, what you allow yourself to believe. Yeah. Do you see angels as Syrians? What you see will dictate your emotions and feelings and your moods oftentimes. Now, we have been taught to act on faith and not on emotions and not on feelings, because oftentimes they will be contrary. But many times these negative emotions are nothing more than a response to what is in your mind and a response to your expectation and a response to our interpretation of what is happening all around us. If we would but believe God, I mean just audaciously believe Him, we could smooth out a lot of that negative. A lot of that would leave. If we throw out the doubts, get rid of the negative thoughts about ourselves, all the I can'ts, get rid of the lies, and believe what God says, I predict a different emotional response in your life. Telling yourself the truth instead of listening to the devil could change your whole life. And you're going to live your life one way or another. You might as well enjoy it. You might as well see horses and chariots as to see Syrians. Jesus said, have faith in God. He didn't say, pray for faith. He didn't say, try to have faith. He said, have faith. Faith is nothing more than a decision of your will to believe God. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, increase your faith. If you've got a little itty-bitty, teeny, itty-bitty bit of faith, you can move mountains. It's not more faith, it's use what you got. We've all got that much faith. It's for your good. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get a grip on what's in there. Instead of allowing these lies to trigger continual negative emotion. Subject to torment. You know, many people are subject to torment. Mental torment, depression. This world has now come to recognize that the mind affects the body. For years, modern medical science has sought to explain the causes of physical disease in purely biochemical terms. It is now recognized without any doubt at all that emotions affect the brain and endocrine system, which in turn affect the entire body. Reading an article, a piece of an article, in a random sample of nearly 7,000 adults in California, epidemiologists discovered that men and women with firm bonds of family, friends, and church had less than half the mortality rate of those without such comfort and balance of such ties. And this was irrespective of smoking, drinking, eating, and exercise. In Michigan, a close medical check was kept on 100 married auto workers, those reporting a supportive home, work, and social life, which contributes to mental health, remain far healthier than those expressing dissatisfaction with their private and work lives. The incidence of arthritis in the least contented group was 10 times more than those in the other group. And there are many studies on this. It has been said that we are not disturbed by things, but by our opinions of things. Some people say the glass is half empty. Others say it is half full. It just depends on how you look at it. Stress is an area involving the mind also. And being unable to handle stress is a product of not believing God. It's a product of being in a certain mental framework, and it leads to anxiety and depression. Our society today is characterized by stress. Job pressure, financial pressure, family pressure, time pressure, ministry pressures. Add on to all the top of that demonic harassment, and you have harassment and you have stress. The most recent U.S. News and World Report has an article on this. Those who have a network of friends and family who care are far less stressed, even in the most difficult of circumstances, which points out the need for the body of Christ. Right. Needing to open up and receive for one another. I doubt if we're going to escape stress in the society we live in. Stress can affect not only psychological equilibrium, but physical functions as well. We know that the more accumulated stress a person experiences, the greater likelihood they will be of becoming ill. Heart disease, digestive problems, headaches, resistance to infectious illness, cancer, etc., etc., etc. There's a whole long list of things that are attributed to stress. What has been studied most is fear, which may be at the basis of all kinds of stress. When the mind, I am talking to you on the mind tonight, when the mind perceives fear, a coordinated symphony of events takes place that has been termed the fight or flight response. That's what psychologists call this. Now, we can learn some things from the world. The world's done a lot of overtime study on these things. And I just picked out a few things that they've discovered. By the way, they don't understand the cure-all for this. They can only suggest various things. And they don't know why some people are affected by stress and others are not, at least in certain degrees. This is a difficult area. But a lot of time has been put into this. These events include the release of adrenaline, steroids, and other hormones. So when a person hears the screech of brakes, within seconds, their heart and breathing rate increases, and if the response persists, their mouth dries out, their palms begin to sweat, and their muscles get tense. Quite often, however, people perceive danger where there is none. They are not reacting to the reality of a situation so much as to associations they carry around internally based on past experiences. Now, I am not trying to prevent you from reacting if you get in an auto accident. You will react. The body is made to do so. A harrowing experience will cause you to react and to be capable of acting quickly. That's built into the body. But many of us are receiving these hormones and these reactions purely because our minds are on negative things and our minds are filled with demonic screeching of brakes. And this is activating the body system and tormenting us, causing us lots of problems. They are not reacting to the reality of a situation so much as associations they carry around internally based on past experience. They worry about what will happen tomorrow. Jesus said, cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. What will the future bring? Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient for today is the evil thereof. How long will I live? How will I pay my bills? Will there be a nuclear war? Such fears produce a chronic fight or flight response. Jesus said, fear not. Jesus said, my words are life. The book of Proverbs tells us something along this line. In Proverbs 4, verse 10. Now, if we will obey the word of God and rid our minds of such things, we'll be in better shape. Proverbs 4:10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. But if you live in anxiety all your life, you're not going to live that long, according to what I've read. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. They are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. God's word is built and it's a safety. It's a cause to trust in him, to lean on him, to find that every need can be met in God. And there are promises that promise you deliverance from everything. Deliverance, healing, cares, remove your cares. God has everything taken care of for us if we will but trust him. What are the possible consequences of constantly being in a fight or flight mode? The immune system can be affected by adrenaline and other hormones related to specific mental states. Steroids can reduce the number of white blood cells which fight disease and in combination with other hormones impair their function. Constant arousal of the sympathetic nervous system can also contribute to heart disease and other diseases. Roughly 70% of the physical problems that bring people to their doctor have to do with stress and lifestyle. The medical profession has known this for a long time, but only recently have they begun to really treat it in this manner. They've begun to recognize that a lot of this is mental. Are there ways stress-prone people can keep that from happening? Yes. It has to do with learning to control habitual reaction patterns. A person can be sitting somewhere quietly in a warm, safe room having a full-blown stress reaction. Because of associations to concerns in the past or in the future. Just plain worrying about everything. And viewing all the negative in your life and everything that isn't and should be and can't be and every... You're just tearing yourself to pieces. What's actually going on in the present is no difficulty at all. The question really is, how do you break through these conditioned cycles? Now, those who write these articles and evaluate these symptoms, they offer all kinds of various remedies. The Bible offers us peace, faith, and hope in God. The Bible tells us to cleave to God's Word, cling to His Word, hold tightly to His Word. I mean, it's a mental battle. It's a struggle. The Word of God would bring peace to your mind. I know this is difficult. Continual moving in the Spirit makes spiritual things more real, and it makes the truth easier to hold. Singing for 45 minutes like we did tonight and believing everything you sing is doing a lot to reverse this whole process. When you sing it, believe it. Tell yourself it's true. Some people, I'm not kidding you, some people would get massive deliverance if every day they would get up and say, today I'm going to believe God, I'm going to believe God, I'm going to believe God 50 times before they did anything. They'd get a massive deliverance. I'm not kidding you, you need to tell yourself the truth. We need power over continual demonic harassment. The devil's harassing our minds. He's continually feeding us lies, amplifying molehills, pointing out circumstances. Syrians. Syrians. You look out over those Syrians and you're trying to visualize the angel of the Lord round about. You can't see him. You're having to see it by faith. We don't all have the gift that Elisha had. So we're having to see it by faith and the devil's going, Syrians, 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 Syrians. Quiet, devil! I know it's you, and I'm not going to hear another word of it. And if I do, I won't believe it. Circumstances may not change. The problems are still there. The Syrians are all around. There's no point in focusing on it and going through an adrenaline reaction over it. Believe God. The devil will do everything he can to keep you from seeing horses and chariots of fire. He'll harass you. He'll say, look how big they are. Look how fast they're moving. Look how many of them there are. Get you to think on every negative thing. That's where the battle is, my friend. It's in your brain. It's what's going on in there. U.S. News concludes their article. This is their conclusion. Since stress is largely determined in the eye of the beholder, a change in outlook is crucial to continued stress management. My friend, a change in outlook. Meaning believe God's word or else. I read an article on depression recently. U.S. News, again, estimates there are 35 million people depressed in this country. No doubt. I don't doubt it. Read the newspaper. That's enough to ruin anyone's day. Russians, bombs, unemployment, cancer, fears, crime, inflation. Syrians, alas, master. What shall we do? Major depression is a chronic disease that affects 1 in 29 Americans. There ought to be enough of them in this congregation to have a dynamite retreat. 1 in 29 Americans are affected by major depression, and I read about it. It's terrible. Some of these people don't come out of it for a long time. Let me read you why. Deuteronomy 28, 65 to 67. You can listen. Deuteronomy 28, God's judgment on those that won't walk with Him. Among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, failing of eyes, sorrow of mind. Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. Thou shalt fear day and night, shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would it were even. In the evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. The fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. My friend, it's God's judgment on this country. Country has abandoned God and gone to sin. No wonder there's depression everywhere. In most cases, the mood is accompanied by a chemical abnormality. And the president of the American Psychiatric Association says this in 1983, "We do not know if the mind thinking depressed thoughts causes the biological changes in the brain, or whether it's the chemical imbalance in the brain that causes the depression." They don't know. All they can do is observe the results. They don't know that by thinking negative thoughts can cause your brain to go wacko and cause certain chemicals to be out of balance. It just could be that. It could be continual focusing on negative things and certain things like that that drive the person drives himself practically insane. It also could be that the brain gets out of chemical imbalance and then that brings on these moods. They don't know. They're not sure which way it is. I take it both ways. The treatments involve both angles. From recent household surveys, health leaders learned that depression is twice as prevalent as it was believed to be a decade ago. Depression has now doubled in the last 10 years. I no doubt it is on the increase.
Right.
You are a candidate for it.
Right.
You are a candidate for it. If you do not guard your mind
right.
from everything the devil will put in, you are a candidate for depression.
Right.
Among the 35 million or so afflicted, some 10 million have severe depression. Doctors estimate that at least 25 million of all Americans will suffer severe depression at some time in your life. Peak years for major depressive disorders are ages 25 to 44, and after age 60, there's a significant decline. Children as young as 5 years old have been diagnosed with major depression. Causes of depression remain a mystery. Depression is defined by the American Psychiatric Association as a spectrum of specific symptoms ranging from sadness, grief, low self-esteem, irritability, hopelessness, lack of interest in sex or hobbies, sleep disorders, appetite disturbances, loss of energy, difficulty concentrating, and suicidal thoughts. Well, all they've identified is a whole host of demons that are afflicting people's minds. They also say that any one of us can have symptoms for a day or two. What determines the severity of depression is the duration of the symptoms. And they say if you have them up to 2 weeks, you need treatment. I think you need deliverance. But you also need to take steps with your mind and be sure that you're holding on to God's Word. I mean, you might have to repeat it. You might have to put it on the frontlets of your garment, on the sleeves of your coat, and on your cuffs. Like God told them to do in the Old Testament. Treatment today, in addition to a number of effective drugs, includes some 250 different types of psychological treatments. I'm recommending treatment number 251. Most all severe cases are treated with drugs. One of the leading short-term approaches is a certain type of therapy in which patients are taught to change negative thoughts and perceptions about themselves that are linked to depressive symptoms. So far, 4 studies of outpatients who sought treatment that way have shown that this was just as effective as drugs or medication by changing negative thoughts about themselves and their situation. Here's a testimony. Woman, I was absolutely spaced out and couldn't function. After a year of therapy with a counselor who took her off of all medication, she says, "My counselor has been teaching me how to feel good about myself. I never felt that way before." That was her problem. Didn't feel good about herself. Christian, you need to believe God's word about yourself. If he says you are a new creature in Christ, you better tell yourself that every day. If he says there's no condemnation, if he says confess your sins and he's faithful and just to forgive them, you don't have a choice not believing that. You're in trouble. If God be for us, who can be against us? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Believe it. And get that out of your brain. Christianity Today says in an article, "Self-defeating thoughts keep people depressed. The despairing individual, for example, might consistently overgeneralize from, 'I burned the dinner. I'm a complete failure at everything.' or they catastrophize, I can't be happy at all if my marriage isn't perfect. Or generally negative or pessimistic thoughts about the future and themselves. This is what they're trying to tell us. Now, this is what the world is learning about depression. And if we can't learn it, shame on us. I can't. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me.
Yes.
Don't ever tell yourself that again.
Right.
Never. Never tell yourself I can't again. Don't let the devil use the first person and talk in your brain. Well, I've got all these needs. My God shall supply all your needs through his riches in glory. Philippians 4:19. I'm weak. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I won't make it. I'm not going to make it. 2 Corinthians 2:14, God is always causing me to... Philippians 1:6 is the author and finisher of my faith. In 2 Timothy 1:12, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. If you don't believe that, you're like Israel, who rebelled against God. And it says they didn't enter in because of stubbornness. They refused to believe. Oh, I don't have enough faith. My friend, it's not that. It's not that. It's refusing to believe. It's refusing to take a stand against all this negative that's in your mind. It's of the devil. The devil is just putting it in there continually. And what's the fruit of it all been? Well, I'm reading it to you. I'm bound. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, John 8:36. Guilt plagues certain people. 1 John 1:7, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Condemnation, Romans 8:1. A lot of people can quote it, but do they really believe it? It's too hard. 2 Corinthians 4:17, I can't quote it. I'll memorize it right now. So will you. Our light affliction, this is for too hard, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Glory, that makes me excited. I can get a positive emotional response out of that verse. Well, I'm not willing. I'm just not willing. My friend, has the devil told you that lie again? Philippians 2:13, it is God which worketh in you to will and to do. If you're not willing, say, Lord, help. He'll work in you to will. You choose what to believe and what to think about. Now, a lot of people spend a lot of time refuting Jehovah's Witnesses, refuting Mormons, refuting Christian Science. I mean, they're going to prove the truth. They've got the truth. Boy, they can argue. They can do this. And when it comes to believing whether I can do it or not, they take the Bible and go, whoosh, and tromp all over it. My friend, it's not the matter of whether you can refute the Mormons and have the truth. Are you believing it for your own life? Or are you offending God? Offending Him. God is too little to take care of me. You're serving the wrong God. Not the God I serve. Some of you needed to turn on David's anointed harp playing and have all the demons go. Paul learned this in Acts 27. I'll just read it. Acts 27:20. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away, alas. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened to me. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Glory. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you but for the ship. There stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Glory. Some of you ought to say, I believe God. every other minute. There's a battle, and the devil is really working hard in people's minds. I'm reading in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Are your thoughts in obedience to the Word of God? What a demonic battlefield the mind can be. And doesn't the devil love to get you to believe the lie and then experience all that negative feeling? I can't make it. I can't make it. Oh. See, you're just allowing it. Psalms 91:4 says, His truth shall be my shield. His truth is a shield. Take it. His truth, it's a shield. It fends off all those lies. And the shield of faith, it's important. Do you know the faith will change your actions? If you believe that God is really moving, you'll be more likely to go to prayer meeting. This will then put you in a position where God can move. And with an expecting heart, He will move. But if you believe He isn't moving, you'll probably stay home because, you know, well, there's a lot of things to do. Well, if you're not there, you can't move and you won't receive, and that's the way it is. Believing God changes the direction your feet move in life. And actually causes you by faith to walk out and even fulfill many of your own prayers just because you're believing it. You'll actually live a different life. You'll make different decisions. You'll do different things. And that will produce the very answer to many prayers you pray. And by not believing God, the reverse is often true. James 1:2 says, Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That is, experience a positive emotion when you are really in the thick of it. Oh, wait a minute. This is what God is saying.
Right.
Count it all joy. Why? Because you're in hot water? No. Because the trial of your faith worketh patience. Your mind is on the good that God is doing. Your mind is on the good. Your mind is on what God can do, what God is doing, what strength's being put in you, that you're overcoming. There's victories here. There's victory ahead. His word is true. Joy. Instead of the negative emotion of the trial. You can go through trials in an amazing way. This could change your whole life. In Luke 6:22-23, Jesus said, When you're persecuted, when they say bad things about you, leap for joy. Have a positive emotion. Experience it. Experience a positive emotion when you're really in the thick of it. You know how you're going to do that? By believing the words that He said at the end, For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. If you believe that your reward is great in heaven, brother, you've got something to leap about. And you can experience the joy that He's talking about. My friend, these things are real. I'm trying to tell you something that's real. I'm trying to help you get out of a lot of negative emotion and get a lot of positive emotion. And get in a place where life is worth living and exciting. You need to put your mind on truth and not on trials. Not on difficulties, not on circumstances. How about this one? God works for good in all things. Romans 8:28. I don't care what it is. God's working for good in it. You can be sure of it. That ought to give you something to shout about. Boy, I'm in trouble now, but God's working for good. I'm going to believe it. I know He's working for good. I'm going to quote it. I'm going to meditate it. I'm going to experience it. It's wonderful. I'm glad He's working for good. Hallelujah. Glory. He's working for good. I can't wait. What's it going to be? It'll be there. It's going to be in me. It's going to change me. And I'm going to go through this with my mind on faith, seeing what God can do in me. Seeing what He can do if I'll just believe Him. What can God do if a man believes Him? There's no limit. The devil wants to torment you unmercifully. Why cooperate with him? Why? It's bad enough that he wants to hit you with the stick, but when he hands it to you and you hit yourself, that's what he's got us doing a lot of times.
And then he's standing back going, harder, harder, harder.
I'm trying to help you. Now, I hesitate to bring this next thing for fear people are going to jump in Puget Sound with it. Just be calm. Listen to this article. Most scientists have always looked at miracles with a rather skeptical eye. This is a totally secular source. Cures that took place without rational explanation were usually deemed nothing more than mere superstition. Ignorance. But even the most cautious scientists are now beginning to admit that medical miracles of a special kind happen even today, although the name for them has now has a coolly scientific ring, the placebo effect. The placebo effect is nothing more than the power of the mind. Now, I am not into mind power and all of that.
Right.
I am just trying to tell you what the world is now learning about the mind. They're learning about positive confession. God knew this a long time ago. He's been trying to tell us to believe Him and trust in Him and keep positive things in our minds. Whatsoever things are good, think on these things. And now the world's got it figured out and we're behind them. The world's starting to put faith in faith. My friend, putting faith in faith isn't really that effective, except as far as placebos go. We can put faith in God. Not just faith in faith. They're putting faith in faith and getting results. Getting results, mind you. And we can put faith in God and we're getting sometimes less results than they're getting. The world is getting ahead of us. Listen to this. Faith, hope, trust, all important components of the placebo effect, can at times heal wounds, alter body chemistry, even to change the course of the most relentless diseases. Expectations and belief can play a crucial role in making us better, as well as in making us ill. And the means by which they work can be as unimposing as a simple sugar pill or a syringe filled with salt water, or a mere expectation. The world has now recognized the placebo effect. The placebo is nothing more than an empty pill. It's a pill of sugar, and they tell you this pill is going to cure you. And they'll take it, and they get cured. Apparently, the simple belief in the efficacy of a procedure or drug was powerful enough to soothe pain and promote healing. Now, my opinion is that this is how it works. And I don't know. They don't know how it works. My opinion is that sinners are able to shut off the work of the devil by taking a positive course in their mind and not accepting the disease. Do you know that sinners can refuse temptation? Sure, they refuse temptation. Kill him, kill him, kill him. Didn't that guy say the devil told him to kill him, so he did? But a lot of people, they don't do it.
Right.
Rob that bank. Well, they know better. If the laws were stronger, a lot more people would resist the devil.
Right.
And if you raise your children with a big stick, they'll resist the devil too. In fact, by around 1955, placebos such as sugar pills or saline injections became the standard against which new drugs were judged. Now, here's what they did. They had volunteers that had a certain disease or certain deal, and what they did was that nobody knew who was in which group. One group, they gave them nothing, sugar pills or salt water injections. And the other group, they gave them a new drug that was being tested. Nobody knew which group was which. The doctors didn't know which group was which. And then, in order for the drug to be declared medically effective, it had to beat the placebo. And that was tough. The competition is tough. The verdict of no more effective than a placebo became a sentence of doom for many drugs that pharmaceutical companies hoped to introduce. In fact, when they did this, more than 600 medications were taken off the shelves, and many doctors had been using them successfully for years and started squawking. They said, wait a minute, well, I get great results with that. They said, we've proved there's no results in it. It's a placebo. Other research has shown that placebos can at times constrict the pupil of the eye, alter blood pressure, change the heart and respiratory rates, influence digestion, change body temperature, even affect fat levels in the blood and all kinds of blood cells, curing coughing, colds,
coughs, ulcers, seasicknesses, vertigo, hay fever, in fact, almost every ailment studied. Just by believing that something's going to work. And how much more believing God's word? I'm not saying we should take this and go mind over matter. I'm saying put your faith in God's word. I'd be more powerful than just the world's placebo. Are they going to get more results than us? Valium is the most economically successful drug in the history of the world. But the fact is that we've done studies and found that it really works for only a small number of people who suffer the symptoms of anxiety, and even for them for only about 1 week. For most of the millions of people who take Valium, is nothing more than a placebo. They know that. They still prescribe it because it works. Not all placebos are positive. Some can hurt. The placebo effect has a definite basis in the chemistry of the brain. It affects the chemistry of the brain. Also, only one-third of patients get results from placebos. Only one-third get results. And they don't know why. Now, the placebo effect is no doubt the outrageous claims made by many health food industries. Vitamin E, vitamin this, vitamin that, all this kind of thing. Hey, no doubt people get results from the placebo involved. They believe it? No, I don't doubt it. They even did sham surgery. Certain type of surgery, sometimes a heart surgery and other types of surgery. They gave a person an incision, sewed him up, told him he'd had the surgery. They found out that the people on the fake surgery did better on the real surgery. They also got well quicker, of course, they didn't have the surgery. But they felt great, and they were healed. They had better results on the fake surgery. Now, that doesn't apply to all kinds of surgery. That just applied to a certain type of surgery. They decided to test this out. They did a couple experiments on some people. And these were types of surgery that they were questioning, really, the validity of it. Now, I said all that to say this, not to promote mind over matter, but to promote faith in God, to promote truth in your mind, to promote that you would believe God for your own well-being. God has commanded us to have faith in Him.
Yes.
He has commanded, and if we don't, without faith, no man can please God.
Right.
Without faith in God, I suspect that you are open up and vulnerable to all manner of demonic things. No doubt to my mind that these sicknesses are demonic, and that by dwelling in certain negative things and have negative frame of mind, and I'm sick today. I'm sick. Confess it, brother. Confess it. Preach it. There's nothing wrong with saying, I need healing. I'm being afflicted by a demon. But I wouldn't accept it. I wouldn't preach it, proclaim it, and testify about it. I'd try to get deliverance from it. And I'd take a stand against it. You're not coming on me. And there's nothing wrong with recognizing that you're fighting a demonic battle and maybe taking a few days to rest in bed. I'm not saying anything against that. Sometimes you need to rest up. If you're overtired, you need to go to bed early. If you're coming down with something and the devil's trying to put something on you, sometimes in order to throw it off, you need to take steps. When fighting the devil, we need to take steps. Sometimes we need music. Sometimes we need prayer. Sometimes we need encouragement to fight the devil. And in the area of sickness, we need certain things and steps to put ourselves in a place to resist it, to fight it. There's nothing wrong with those things and recognizing you're in a battle. Truth and error. What'll it be in your mind? Which emotions do you want? And how do you see? What do you see in life? It's up to you. The Lord has commanded us to do one thing. Are we going to choose the other? Can we dare choose anything else? You need to put a guard on your mind and study your mind all day long. Study what's going on in that mind. All this negative thing, you know, all that, and suspicion here, and negative over there, and well, and things about yourself, particularly, vital. Oh, they're death. Death. That's what they are, is death. Negative things about yourself. God bless you.
You may be seated just for a minute. I want to add one qualification. I want you to get this on the sermon tape. I was talking about placebos. You know, I hesitated to even bring that because I'm afraid people are going to get carried away. And if you're already on medication for diabetes or some other thing, I'm not saying throw that away. That would be wrong to do that. I'm not saying that all medication is that way. I'm just saying this is what they have now recognized, and that if we can recognize that too, it can help us by giving us more incentive to keep our minds straight.
Yes.
Give us more incentive. I'm not saying if you're sick right now that it's a result of imbalance or depression or anything else. I don't know. Neither does the medical profession. They don't know. They know there's a high percentage. They don't know who. They don't know which. I don't know. But I am saying that it would help all of us to do this. This would help all of us. It's not saying that we'll never get sick. It's not saying that we might not need a valid medication in the future. It's not saying that. It's saying that it will help us in the long run. It will help us, and oh, it will help our spirits. And I'm hesitated in this other part of the physical because I was afraid that people would get carried away, and this is one of the ways they might get carried away. They might decide to throw away their medication and really get carried away, and that would be wrong. Tonight, as we close the service, is there anyone in this building that would like to give your heart to Jesus Christ? You would like to put your faith in God for your life and for your problems instead of faith in faith or faith in yourself or faith in anything less than the Almighty God that created you. Is there anyone that would like to surrender your life to Jesus Christ? If so, raise your hand so that I can see it. Is there anyone? Is that a hand right back there? What I would like you to do, if you raise your hand, right here is a hand. What I would like you to do, I would like you to come right down to this front here and kneel at this altar, and I would like an altar worker or two to come and pray with them.